بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I am in Somers, Connecticut, on the border of Connecticut, Massachusetts. A few days ago we had a huge snowstorm. The upside of it is absolutely beautiful white cover on everything. We had 18 inches of snow. 1 inch of snow on 1 acre of land weighs one metric ton. So that's 18 tons of snow per acre of land. That translates into literally millions of gallons of water when the snow melts. All very well for a place which needs water. And this is, of course, fresh water. The downside of it, of course, is the cold. Right now it's -9 outside. Inside the house, it's beautiful temperature, which is very comfortable and warm. When I go out, I'm conscious of wearing the right clothes, the right jackets, keeping my head and ears covered, keeping my feet in shoes that are waterproof and warm, wearing gloves, because -9 is very cold. I mean, if you're not wearing gloves and you're walking outside, then very quickly your fingers and your hands are no longer your own. The point I'm making is that at no point in time am I or anybody else saying, well, how can we make this snow go away, or how can we change the weather, or how can we make it warmer? What we are saying is, how can we make our own environment warmer? So the environment being inside the house, inside the car, inside my clothes, how can I create conditions for myself that I can still live in this snow, enjoy the beauty of it, and protect myself from the danger of it? Because believe me, this is lethal. This is lethal. This can kill. This temperature and this snow, if you get yourself exposed, then you can get pneumonia and die. You can die for a number of reasons. It's not just one. And the colder it gets, and of course, if you go further north in Canada and so on, it is colder even here in the peak of winter, which is still to come. The peak of winter here is actually February. You have temperatures of -20. So it is lethal. But at the same time, if you are protected, wearing the right clothing, if your homes are heated, and when you travel, if the cars are heated, then you don't feel any discomfort. You just enjoy the beautiful scenery at the end of an ice storm. All the trees look like chandeliers. They look like crystal. They're as if they're made of crystal, because there's ice clinging to them. They are stalactites and stalagmites of ice, and then when the sun hits them, It is absolutely magical. It's better than the best light display that you can ever imagine anywhere. So it has enormous beauty. But the same, as I said, at the risk of repetition, at the same time, you go out in there without adequate protection and you're dead. The reason I'm saying this in this Fajr reminder is because this is exactly what this world is like. And this is exactly our role in the world. And this is exactly the definition of taqwa, which is, how can I live in this world in a way where I enjoy the beauty of the world, but I do not allow that to affect me, to affect my heart, to affect my actions, and to become a liability for me? That is the key. And the key is, and therefore, I do what I do if I'm walking out in the snow, which is I protect myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world full of attraction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of attraction into this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the means of enjoying this world. He gave us our senses. He gave us our feelings. He gave us to those who gave it. He gave us the money, the resources. To others, He did not give the money, but He gave them company of good friends, thanks to whom they enjoy the beauty of the world without necessarily having to pay for it themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all of this. But at the same time, this world has a lethal aspect to that, which is distraction. Distraction from the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distraction from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can be lethal, just like walking around in the snow and ice without proper clothing can kill you. This can kill you worse, because if you die in the snow, you die once. But in this, if your spirit dies, if your ruh is affected, if your heart dies, then that carries on forever. There is no end to that death. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that therefore we need to protect ourselves against the danger of the dunya, just like we protect ourselves against the danger of, against the material danger of the dunya. I'm saying we must protect ourselves against the spiritual danger of the dunya as we do against the material and physical danger. What shaitan tries to do is to distract our attention from what is in our control. For example, as I mentioned, in the material sense, when I want to go out, I'm not even thinking about how can I make the snow go away. I mean, that would be stupid to even think about that, because there's no way that's going to happen. So what I'm focused on completely and totally is, what clothes do I need to wear? Am I dressed warmly enough? But when it comes to the dunya, shaitan distracts our attention from that. And instead of focusing on what is it that I can do, we get engrossed and we get tempted and we get engulfed in the attraction of the dunya. Now, just like we can't change the outside world, just like we can't change the amount of snow that falls on the ground, we cannot, for example, change the amount of sustenance, risk, the amount of money that we are going to get in this life. We can't change that. That's just like the snow. If there is 18 inches written there, 18 inches is what's going to come. You will not get 17, you will not get 19. So in my life, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for me is what I'm going to get. I will not get anything more and I will not get anything less. But shaitan tries to tell me that I have the power to change that. What I do have the power is to decide how do I want to take that 18 inches of snow. How do I want to take the resources that Allah has written for me? If Allah has given me a certain amount of wealth, how do I want to take it? Where do I want to take it from? This is the key. The key is, and that's the reason why the best thing to do if you want to look at and understand what are the key important things in this life is to look at what are the questions that we will be asked in the next life. Because the questions are only about the things which are important. The questions are only about the things which are in our control. So if you look at the questions, then they tell us what we need to focus on. So what are the questions on the Day of Judgment? We know from the Hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He said that the feet of the son of Adam will not move from the Maidan, from the ground, from the field of Hashar, of gathering, until he answers four questions. And the first one is, he will be asked, what did you do with the life that I gave you? Allah will ask him, how did you spend your time? Now, Allah will not ask you, how long did you live? Why didn't you live longer? Now, we have a lot of people focused on how can we extend the lifespan of human beings, right? I'm not even talking about people who have some critical illness and the doctors are telling them, if you do this treatment, your life will be extended, and if you don't do that treatment, your life will be shortened. I'm talking about general focus, and people say, well, you know, if you eat this, if you do that, if you exercise and so on and so forth, your lifespan will be increased. The reality is, the lifespan is fixed. The lifespan cannot be increased even by a second or less than that. What can happen and should happen, and why therefore should we eat properly? Should we dress properly? Should we exercise and so on? Why should we do that? To improve the quality of that life, not for the duration of the life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us, how long did you live? Why didn't you extend your lifespan? Allah will say, how did you spend the time that I gave you? I gave you 20 years. How did you spend that 20 years? I gave you 200 years. How did you spend that 200 years? I gave you 50 years. How did you spend that 50 years or 60 years or 70 years? That is the question that we are going to be asked. So therefore, when I am looking at my life, I need to focus on how am I spending my time. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, how did you spend your youth? The time when there was a maximum, when we had maximum desires and the ability to fulfill those desires, what did we do? Did we hold the criterion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent of His pleasure as the deciding factor to do this or not to do that? Or did we simply indulge in our basic instincts? That is the question. So the question is, Allah is not saying, how many desires did you encounter? He will say, what did you do with each of these desires? That is the question. In your youth, how did you spend that time? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, what did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? Allah will not say, how much knowledge did you have? We are not going to be asked, did you memorize the Quran? We are going to be asked, whatever Quran you knew, did you understand that? Did you live by that? Did you practice that? Did you teach somebody else that? I'm not against memorization of Quran. Of course, we must know more. But that is not the question. Allah will not say, how come you didn't become a mufti? No. Allah will say, the question that we will have to answer is, whatever you knew of the Sharia, did you follow that? So the issue is, what did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? And this knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, irrespective of that, I'm talking only about religious knowledge, but this applies to everything. Whatever knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, all beneficial knowledge, this knowledge, what did we do with that knowledge? Did we just die with it? Or did we take this forward? Did we spread goodness around ourselves? And the last one is, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? How did you earn it? And where did you spend it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a specific amount of wealth. Allah will not ask, how come you didn't become a billionaire? Allah will not ask any. Allah will say, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? Elon Musk sold his company for $165 million, and then, unlike most people, he didn't go buy an island somewhere. He didn't go buy expensive cars or private jets. He invested that money in other companies. And so today, Elon Musk is worth $9.7 billion. He owns Tesla. He owns all sorts of stuff. And in the interim period, he lived in a rented house. Can you believe that? I mean, the man didn't even buy a house. He lived in a rented house. I mean, you might say crazy man, but you know, this is the issue of, where did you spend? What did you earn? And where did you spend? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us wealth, are we earning it from sources which Allah has made haram? Do you have interest in your business? Do you have interest, meaning commercial banking interest? Are you taking loans on interest? If you are doing that, you are buying fire. You are eating fire in your belly. You are buying the enmity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how retarded and stupid is that? And if you don't have that, alhamdulillah, all power to you, because nothing is going to change. Believe me, you are not going to earn 1 cent more by having a business with interest-based loans in it. And you are not going to get 1 cent less by getting rid of that interest-based loan. You will still get what Allah has written for you, except that on the day of judgment, your name will not be in the list of enemies of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your name will be in the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, this is the basic fundamental issue. The basic fundamental issue is to understand what is in my control and control that, and not worry about what's not in my control. But this is exactly the opposite of that, is what Shaitan pushes us to do. So Shaitan will tell you, try to control the snow and don't worry about what you're wearing, because once you go in the snow, you are dead. Whereas here we are saying, no, 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 forget about the snow. The snow is not in your control. What you're wearing is in your control. So make sure you are properly dressed before you go into the snow. If you are properly dressed and you go into the snow, you will enjoy the snow. If you are not properly dressed and you go into the snow, you will die. And that's exactly what happens in the dunya. If we are properly dressed, meaning that if we are conscious of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are conscious of our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, if we are conscious of the fact that we must follow the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then when we go into the dunya, inshallah al-musta'an, we are protected from the evil of the dunya. And then we can enjoy the dunya, alhamdulillah, we can have a good time, but we are not stuck in the, we will not be caught in the trap of the dunya. But if we don't do that, then we will perish. And as I said, we will not perish the way we perish in the snow. You will perish much worse, because that perishing is something that will come with us in all eternity when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand that which is important for us, and to focus on that, and to protect us from that, from the evil that is before us, but which we refuse to recognize. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.